to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas on the BetMGM network.
It's hour two of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. PJ Glasser and Jared Smith here with you, filling in for Nick and Femi on this Thursday. Three more great hours upcoming here on YBYB. An awesome first hour. Again, thanks to Warren Sharp for joining us. Three great guests still upcoming. Connor Allen going to stop by in 40 minutes, going to get his thoughts on the NFL. We're also going to have Sia Najad join us at 5:40, a little less than 2 hours. Break down round one of the Open Championship, look ahead to the next 3 days, any value still out there on the board, and then Jay Croucher will join us 6:20 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll get Jay's thoughts on what's going on in the NBA and what's going on in the NFL as well. Looks like Rory McIlroy is completed his first round of the Open, and he's going to shoot a 1-under 70 as he's going to tap that in for par. So a little bit better than 6 years ago, Jared, when he started with the quadruple bogey and shot 8-over in round one. A little bit better. So, again, I think one of the big storylines here as we start to wind down round one, the three odds-on favorites, Scotty, Rory, and Rahm, all very, very much alive. Scotty just one shot off the lead. He's the favorite, plus 250. Rory, plus 750, three shots back. And then John Rahm is at 12-1, and he is three shots back as well. So it's interesting, Jared, right? Rahm stays where he was pre-tournament, three shots back. Rory get a little bit of value there, closed about 7-1, 750 at some spots, so he also is at the same price. But then how about Scotty, who is two shots clear of both of those guys, one shot off the lead. He is has his odds cut in half. He was a 5-1, now he is at plus 250. So of those three guys, you still feel the best about Rahm at this point at the 12-1, three shots back?
I mean, I feel like if you were going to ask me, eliminate the odds and just say of those three, which one probably wins, I think Scheffler to me is the obvious choice because he's the highest up on the board and he's the best player. But we have to factor in the odds. And yeah, right now, based off of who the guys are and where they stand, I think Rahm at 12-1 is a good bet. I mean, I'll leave it at this. If I bet him at 12-1 before the tournament started and he put up the round that he put up today, I feel good about my bet, right? And the odds that move. Now, you had a chance at 14 for a minute there. Then I'd be fit. 14 was a really good. I think you gave that out at the top of the show. I think actually our producer, Tyler Morales, actually was the one who mentioned that one as well. I think that was a really good bet because now you're going to get probably 12-1 down the stretch. And, yeah, I mean, he's in position, and we feel like he's going to have at least one good round. You know, one really low round. So if it's tomorrow, that 12-1 is going to be 5-1 probably if he's like 4 or 5 under heading into the weekend.
Justin Thomas is tapping in for his par putt right now. He's 1-over after his first round. Got it to as low as 2-under. He double bogeyed. Going to finish his day at 1-over. Tommy Fleetwood, who finished second at Royal Portrush when they played here 6 years ago, shot a 3-over. Today, as Tommy still looks for that first elusive win. Some other notables, how about Ricky Fowler shot a 2-under today? Brian Harman, who won the Open a couple years ago, shot a 2-under. Tony Finau's out on the course. He is 2-under through his round. Justin Rose, 2-under as well. Xander Schauffele's even par on his round. Adam Scott is 1-over. Russell Henley is 1-over. And let's see, Victor Hovland, Ludvig Åberg is 2-over as well on their round. Matsuyama is 3-over. So, again, tomorrow's cut day. It's going to be an interesting day for a lot of these guys. We'll see what the weather looks like out there. But, Jared, I think we're setting ourselves up for a fun tournament. Again, the fact that the leaders are at 4-under, I mean, it's bringing so many guys into the mix, especially if the weather picks up tomorrow and, you know, the kind of the median scores like over par, it could be nuts going into the weekend. It could be a lot of fun.
It's going to be an awesome tournament. I mean, listen, you got Scheffler, McIlroy, and Rahm within three shots of the lead. if you give me that on Sunday, like, let's just flash forward to Sunday, and I say that McIlroy, Scheffler, and Rahm are within three shots of the lead with 18 holes to go. Are you watching that? Hell yeah, I am.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely watching that. Yeah. So I'll watch regardless, but I'll definitely watch if it's
probably,
those three.
Probably. You'll watch if it's Hatong Lee and Bezaden Hoot and English.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll watch if it's those three guys coming down the wire on Sunday. I'm also going to watch the NFL season, Jared, this upcoming year. And I'm going to watch to see if the Philadelphia Eagles can become the first team in over 20 years to repeat as NFC East champions. They're obviously the favorites to do so. The reigning Super Bowl champions, minus 150. Commanders are plus 225. Cowboys plus 600. And the Giants are 28-1. You know, it's interesting, Jared, with the Eagles at minus 150. I kind of feel like there's some value there because it's so well known how much parity is in this division year after year. And you wonder if the Eagles are a little bit like San Francisco 49er-ish, where their roster is so strong, they've made deep playoff runs, they were obviously able to get over the hump, win the Super Bowl. The Niners haven't been able to do that with kind of this core group. But you just wonder if, like, maybe injuries catch up with them this year. Obviously, they're going to play a difficult schedule. Maybe there's a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. Like, I could see both sides with Philly. I really think this price should actually be closer to minus 200. But because of the history of the NFC East, I think you're getting a better price. But we know the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. It is a veteran team for the most part. They did have some guys leave their team in the offseason. So I'm staying away from Philly in this market, in the divisional market. I'm really staying away from their win total, any kind of futures. I think fully healthy, if they go into the postseason this year and they're fully healthy, they're absolutely the team to beat again, no question, even though we know it's difficult to repeat. The Chiefs obviously have done that recently. But at the start of the season, Jared, I just, you know, I think there's more that could go wrong, that could go right with the Eagles. So I'm ultimately staying away. But look, if you're looking for value, I absolutely think there is a case to be made that this number should be closer to minus 200, but you're getting value because, again, nobody repeats in this division, as we've seen.
Right. I don't really, I mean, to me, like, those types of statistics are really tough because it's what, how many years has it been since no one's repeated?
Something like that, 03, 04.
Wow, really? It really has been 21 years since no one's repeated? Yeah. That's crazy, actually. Yeah, records, I guess, are made to be broken. That is a pretty long stretch. When I look at their schedule, and maybe this is a crazy take, but is there a better, safer week one survivor pick than Philly on Monday or on Thursday night, that opening night of the year? I mean, do we think Dallas is strolling in on opening night and beating Philly? I don't.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of worried about it. Couldn't you?
Worried about that game?
Well, Dak comes back off injury. Schottenheimer gets his first win, right? Cowboys fans, a majority of them don't like him. He wins that game. All of a sudden, he's Tom Landry, right? So it's like, I mean, I can just see that. I could see it. It's a divisional game. I think you're right, honestly. I think the Eagles are a good survivor look. I don't know, Jared. It's just I don't really like betting divisional games in Survivor.
I agree with that, but also I'm so bad at Survivor that you should be fading.
All.
I mean, I don't think I've made it past week three like 5 years in a row. So I just fade all my Survivor takes all year long. I mean, I think the biggest burning question I have is, can Saquon Barkley do what he did again? And this sounds like really like shallow, but like the tush push being back, I think obviously helps them dramatically. I think it takes away from Barkley's upside with like fantasy and touchdowns, because how many vulture scores did Hurts take from Saquon last year? I mean, Saquon probably could have had four or five more touchdowns minimum. I don't have the numbers in front of me on how many 1 yard touchdowns Hurts had on the goal line, but I'm sure it was a decent amount, at least a handful. Can Saquon repeat what was a historic year? If he can, and the offensive line doesn't skip a beat, I don't see any reason why this team doesn't win 12, 13 games and they're the number one seed, and we're talking about Philly. Because that was the biggest knock on the Eagles winning a Super Bowl last year down the stretch. We were talking about them having to go on the road and beat Detroit, but that never materialized. I would have liked to see that game. If I have one regret, and it's not to take anything away from Jaden Daniels and Washington, I thought they obviously deserved to be in the NFC Championship game. But then when you watch that game, you knew very quickly who was going to win. I think by halftime, it was like it was over. So if there was one regret that I wish I could have seen from last year, it was Eagles at Lions NFC Championship game, healthy Detroit defense. I would have really liked to see that game. That was the one team Detroit didn't face last year that I really wish we would have gotten a chance to see, because we've seen him play almost every other, you know, big time NFC team, including all the ones that won the North, you know, that were in the North division, you know, Vikings and Packers, those contenders, and they beat them all. But we never got to see the Lions at peak really get after that Eagles defense, especially. Like, I think that Lions offensive line would have really done a number on that Eagles defense. I think Philly does win the division this year. I like your angle that they're probably slightly undervalued because of the narrative against repeat NFC champs. It's just, it's really hard. Like, I always find it easier to go under the teams that are going to win high, like the high value. I always struggle finding value to the upside on defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles. Like, the market is priced like filet mignon. Like, they have to have a perfect season almost, essentially. And everything's got to go right with injuries and rest and all this stuff for them to be able to exceed very lofty expectations. You know, if they have one stretch where they hit an injury bug, if they have one stretch where Saquon isn't as productive as he was last year, they've got one of the toughest schedules in the league, and they've got the target on their back. So it's just I really struggle with finding upside to a preseason bet on Philly. Maybe midseason, if they hit a lull, we bet them at some capacity in a futures market way. Maybe it's division, maybe it's NFC. But right now, I feel very similarly that I feel on Washington. It's really hard to find any upside wiggle room with what their numbers are heading into the year.
The only two teams that I would look at to win the NFC East are Philly and Dallas. That'd be it. I wouldn't look at Washington. I certainly wouldn't look at the Giants. It would only be Philly and it would only be Dallas. And Jared, I think that if the season goes how I think it could, there could be a good opportunity to bet both of these teams. Now, I told you I think there's a chance Dallas could beat Philly week one. I think Philly wins that game. If Philly wins that game, they go from minus 150 to at least north of minus 200, right? They're going to be a big favorite if they win that game. But then after that, Jared, after the Dallas game, at Kansas City, home against the Rams, and then they're at Tampa, a place that's been a house of horrors for them the last couple of years. They lost in the playoffs there a couple of years ago, and in that regular season game last year, I think they had like zero total yards like midway through the second quarter. They were getting smoked. So Tampa's never been good to Philadelphia. So like, there's a chance that they could start the season 2-2, maybe 1-3, probably not. But I think 2-2 is a possibility. How about Dallas? After they play Philly, home against the Giants, at the Bears, home against Green Bay, at the Jets, at the Panthers, home against the Commanders, at Denver, home against Arizona, bye week. I mean, there's a path there for Dallas to go on a little bit of a run and win some games. And plus 600 is a nice number. I mean, you're going to get an even better number if they lose week one. And then if they lose week one, go on a little bit of a run, you got a plus 850 in your pocket. The Eagles maybe are 2-2 to start the season. Maybe you get back closer to like even money with Philly. I think there's an opportunity to get maybe tickets on both of those teams, get yourself a nice profit. But I like the idea of betting Dallas to win the division, but I would wait to do it after their week one matchup. Obviously, if they beat Philly, I mean, that number is going to be cut in half. And you know, that's just the risk that you play. But I would wait. I would wait if you like Dallas to win the division. Philly wins that game, you get a better number. And then I think there's going to be an opportunity potentially because of the Eagles start to maybe jump on them to win this division as well. So that's kind of how I'm seeing the NFC East. We talked about Washington last segment. I really don't want to bet them to win this division. And then the Giants, save your money. I'm good. There's a reason they're 28-1. So it's either Dallas or Philly to me. I think there might be an opportunity to bet both of those teams early in the season.
I think if you like Dallas, it's fair to like Dallas. I mean, this is one of the first years in this Prescott run where they're, you know, not expected to win 10 games and be a playoff team. I think they're like right on the cusp of like the playoff futures. I think they're like even odds or like barely in plus money. Actually, let me look what their number is to make the playoffs. I was doing this research last night. Yeah, they're plus 175 to make the playoffs. I mean, they're, you know, that's a pretty big nugget. If you think Dallas is legit this year, I think if you do feel that they are legit, I would prefer to just bet them on the money line week one and then find out how legit they really are. And then if you're wrong with your opinion that they're legit and they get their asses kicked week one, well, then you can reassess your opinion with no investment in the futures market, and then you can reload. So if you think Dallas legit, I think you just bet them on the money line week one, and then, you know, you reassess it.
I think they might be. We'll see. Dak coming back from injury, Schottenheimer surprising some people. It's going to be fun. We'll talk AFC North coming up next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.